Class is back in session. It's time for Baptist Basics University from BaptistBasics.org.
That's right, it's time once again for Baptist Basics University, a long overdue addition to Baptist Basics University. I am Matthew Gage, and you are listening to lesson number 4 in our series on preaching, the Homiletics 101, an Introduction to Preaching. It has been quite a while since I last updated the notes or even recorded this. I got sidetracked. I had a plan originally to alternate between my series on Acts and the series on preaching. Unfortunately, the dividing my attention did not work very well, and so I focused instead on finishing up the series on the book of Acts, and which I was just deeply in love with doing. I so enjoyed that study. But the casualty of that was the preaching course, which, as I say, when I started to open this up and get started on it, I realized the last one I recorded didn't even have the intro that I've been using for quite a while now. So it has been a little while since I last updated this. I didn't look up and see the exact date since the last addition to this course. I apologize for that if you've been hanging around waiting on that. As I say, this is just a little side hobby for me. I just fill in and do it when I get a chance. And this course, I was very excited about doing, and I still am, because I just know, even as a young preacher myself, you know, looking for material on how to preach and practical help, and you know, there's not a lot out there. There's quite a few books, and most of them are either not very much help or are really far advanced for someone who's just beginning to preach and just wants a good basis for understanding, you know, what preaching is, who a preacher is, the responsibilities of a preacher, the art of preaching, what is a sermon, how do I put it together, how do I put together an outline. And that's what I really wanted this course to be. Now, the first few lessons that we covered, we talked a little bit more philosophically about, you know, what is preaching, what is the purpose of preaching. We talked a little bit more practically in lesson 3 with the call to preach, but even that is honestly is more of a philosophical side to the subject of homiletics, with the study of preaching. And what I'm And the original outline I had for this lesson would have a few more lessons like that, but I've decided to go ahead and really kind of get things going and try to jumpstart this and get into some practical stuff. So I'm going to be redoing the course outline that I had originally set. I'm not sure exactly where I'm going to go from here. I'm definitely going to have a lesson on, you know, how do you come up with a sermon, how to put it down on paper. We're going to have a lesson covering things like using illustrations and you know, things you can do to help you get your point across, like using illustrations, you know, hand gestures, things like that, changing up your voice, doing different things. I want to do a lesson on that. I'm still planning on doing at least one lesson on just, you know, what do you do for a you know, if you're a preacher boy, you know, you're 10, 12 years old, you feel God has called you to preach. What do you do to prepare? I mean, it's not like you're going to be called a pastor. You're not going to Bible college for a few more years. What do you do in that situation? I still want to do a lesson on that, but really, it's pretty wide open in what we're going to be doing. I'm probably going to say I've got some pretty good lesson ideas here, but we'll see what we get into. And I'm going to admit to you right now, this lesson originally was supposed to be lesson number 5 in my original outline. I'm going to go ahead and bump it up. This lesson has scared me ever since I thought to do this. I have been looking and trying to find a good way to do this and find some good examples to use and have really struggled. Our topic for today is going to be types of sermons, different types of sermons. So there are a few different types. There's three main ones that we're going to look at. And honestly, I've struggled very hard to even come up with good outlines. I thought about using my own outlines, but I know how good of a preacher I am, and that's not a great one. That's probably not even a good one. And so I didn't want to put an inferior product out there. Well, I've searched high and low for good examples of this. And finally, what I decided to do was go and use some outlines that were in one of my preaching books. I wanted to use an older one to try to avoid some copyright issues. And the book that I am going to be using for to get these outlines is a book by the preacher W.B. Riley. That's William Bell Riley. He was one of the early fundamental Baptists back in the 20s and 30s, pastored up in Minneapolis, had a great, tremendous work. Numbers and structure-wise, it's compared to Spurgeon's. The man had an amazing ministry. He's all too often overlooked nowadays in the more modern retelling of the history of fundamentalism. But anyway, I'm using his book. He has a little booklet out called The Preacher and His Preaching. I'm not sure exactly when it was printed. The copy I have is a reprinting, I think 1948. 1948, it was printed by Sword of the Lord, according to the deal. This is actually reprinted by Christian Book Gallery, Larry Harrison. But he died in 1947, so this probably came out before then. I'm not really sure exactly when it came out. I apologize for that. But this is a book. I really thought you'd probably be able to find it online. There's different places that will put Christian books, especially older ones, online for free. And I did not see this one out there, but you can get copies of this from a few different sources, including a Christian Book Gallery. If you do a search online, you'll probably find this for sale on eBay or somewhere. It's just a little paperback book, about 124 pages or so. But anyway, it's a pretty good book, pretty practical. I wouldn't say it's the best, but that is where I'm going to get these examples. I thought that they were good, that they fit what I wanted to do. I just wanted to have one really good example of each of the three major sermon types to give you, and that's where I got them, is from the book The Preacher and His Preaching. Now, let's talk about sermon structure. What you're doing when you're preaching is basically, like I think I've talked about before, is you're laying out a logical argument, and that you're basically presenting a case to the people, trying to argue a point, trying to make application of Christian doctrine to their life, and so much of this is based around logic. And all logic has a structure. And I hope I haven't lost you when I'm calling it logic, but preaching in the sermon is basically a logical presentation of doctrine. And every sermon has some form of structure. Now, I've heard some preachers, it's very difficult to understand, you know, what the structure is. They just get up there and rant and rave and ramble on. If you get a preacher who is well up in years, that is usually what happens. But there are some preachers, for instance, you take a guy like a Lester Roloff, his sermons don't really have very good outlines at all. There's a story about him going to preach, and he never used an outline. He showed off a piece of an envelope where he had written like five words, and he said, "You know, look, I've got an outline. I'm going to preach from this outline." Went up there, never even mentioned the stuff that was on the envelope. So, some preachers are like that. There are some people, such as Charles Finney, going back a little bit further back in time, He didn't outline his sermons. Now, he had a law background, was a lawyer. He would just get up and preach. He'd study quite a bit, but he would just get up and preach. Now, I'm sure he had an idea of where he wanted to go with his sermons, but he would just get up and preach, and it wasn't until afterward he sat down and outlined what he had said. So, which I'm going to get into in a little bit, but so much of how you preach is who you are and what your strengths are. And some of that's just experience. Some of that is trial and error to find, you know, how you work best. And a lot of it just goes, you'll find yourself naturally just putting together a certain type of sermon and have a certain style to it, because that's just the way that your brain works. That's how you think. That's how you process the information. A sermon outline is a blueprint for your sermon. It's not that I don't think you should go up there and, you know, this is all I'm going to say is what I have written on the paper. There needs to be some room, you know, for the Spirit to move and add something there or take something away. But a sermon outline is basically just an outline for what you want to say. And it's just the structured argument of how you're going to present this. For instance, if I was going to preach just a very straightforward sermon on salvation, I would probably use, I'll do just for this example, I'd go through what I would call my 4 points for salvation. And that is, number one, that, you know, every man is a sinner. Number two, that there is a price for that sin. If you want to alliterate it, use sentence, like a legal sentence there. It's a sentence for our sin. And then we see the Savior. We see that Jesus Christ died for our sins, paid for our sins for us. And then we have, finally, the solution. That is that if we put our faith and trust in Christ, call on Him, that He will save us. And there's a very simple 4-point outline, and that's just a logical step by step for just 4 simple points on what the gospel is. And so that's just an example of what I'm talking about. I could jump around and say, look, Jesus loves you. And I forgot to mention to you that, Jesus loves you. But I remember, but everybody that sinned is actually, everybody that sinned is going to go to hell, because you can't go to heaven if you're a sinner. And, and by the way, the way you get to heaven is because Jesus died for you. You just put your faith and trust in Him. And look over here, Romans 10:9, Romans 10:13. Oh, rats, I forgot. Let's go back. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. We got to talk about why you're a sinner. That's confusing. It's convoluted. It does not have a logical, display or logical argument, logical structure. So when we're talking about these types of sermons, that's basically what we're talking about, is just a loose basic structure for how we present the arguments in our sermon. Like I said, and like I just illustrated, hopefully, to you, you wouldn't build a house by just going out and getting a bunch of boards and just haphazardly nailing them together. And then, you know, decide, oh, hey, I want a window here. And we better put a bathroom there, and we'll put the kitchen over here. And, tell you what, while we're thinking about it, let's make it 2 stories. And you wouldn't do that. No, you would have detailed plans that would say, you know, that this ceiling is 10 foot tall. The distance between this wall and this wall is 9'6", and detailed plans for laying out the electrical wiring and the plumbing. You would not dare to build a house without a plan, or at least most of us who would want a good product wouldn't do that. But just as you wouldn't do that, you wouldn't just nail boards together randomly to build a house, you should not get up to preach without a plan. And you shouldn't get up to preach without a logical order to your sermon. Now, there are 3 basic types of sermons. Now, there are more that you will see listed in books. Most of these, I think, are just a variation or a hybrid of these of these basic three. Basically, every book you look at on preaching will list these three types of sermons and then give you a few examples of them. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give you one example of each, mainly for the sake of time. Also, because if you just Google these types of sermons, you will find plenty of examples. It was just hard for me to find good, simple ones to use for this. This is the reason why I did not go that route. But the three basic types of sermons are topical, textual, and expository. And we'll deal with each of these as we get to these. The first sermon type we'll look at is a topical sermon. Now, as you can tell by the name, a topical sermon is dealing with a topic. Sometimes you'll see this. In fact, W.B. Riley calls it a theme sermon. Basically, the sermon is just about an idea. And then it's tracing that idea throughout the scriptures. It's not tied down to one passage. Not that you don't have a text verse that you're going to jump off of and kind of lead into it. But it's more that you're not tied down to just discussing, say, salvation by grace through faith in Ephesians 2:8-9. No, you're jumping throughout the Bible and showing where salvation by grace through faith is throughout the scriptures, not just in one place. The emphasis of this is on the theme. It's on the idea. It's not on a scripture or a passage or a chapter or a book, even for the most part. It is the theme. Okay, so let's think about this for a little bit. What would be a topic we could preach about? Let's say prayer. Okay, well, there are good passages in the Bible that deal quite a bit with prayer. We could go to, Christ speaking and talking about, if someone asks you for a, how's it go? I'm going off the top of my head here, but, where he talks about, if they ask, they ask for bread, will you give them a stone? If they ask for an egg, will you give them a scorpion? Talking about that with prayer. Okay, you could just stay right there and talk about prayer. But, instead we could go all the way back even into the Old Testament. We could look at prayers of Daniel. We could look at the prayers of Elijah. We could look at prayers that are offered up, in the book of Acts. We could jump all around. We could see where Paul talks about prayer. We could go all throughout. So we could just talk about prayer. We could narrow that down even and say, we're going to talk about intercessory prayer. That is praying on behalf of someone else. And we could trace that idea throughout the Bible. Now there's passages. We could just look at a single passage, but a topical sermon is really taking that idea and showing throughout the Bible to reinforce and support the point. For instance, an idea of a topical sermon I preached one time, I preached a sermon called Science in the Bible, and basically dealt with, what the Bible says about science, that where the Bible touches science, it's correct. Not that the Bible is a science textbook, but and basically showing, fallacy in some of the modern scientific methodology and thinking, stuff like the theory of evolution and stuff. But that was more of a topical sermon and just ran throughout the Bible. The example outline we're going to look at, this is the one that W.B. Riley had, is called Six Essentials in Soul Winning. Now, there, you'll notice in this outline and in the book I copied this out of, there's no text verse given. He probably, if I was going to preach this, I would, let's start out, let's just read, the Great Commission, Matthew 28. We could go there, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and start there. But that's just letting in and introducing the idea or the topic. It's not that we're preaching out of Matthew 28. It's that we are just introducing the idea, and then we're going to jump all around. Now, I wish he had some references for these. I thought about looking up and adding some, but this is the six-point outline that he has, the six essentials in soul winning. Number one, get God's conception of a soul's worth. And by the way, man, these are good outlines. Start out, what's a soul worth? And, well, let's look at what it costs, for instance. We could say, what did it cost to redeem a soul? Well, it took the life of the Son of God. That's how valuable a soul is. Number two, consecrate yourselves to soul winning. That is, to set yourself aside for it, that this is something you have to prepare for. You have to prepare yourself to it. Number three, surrender to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Don't go out with headstrong ideas. If you feel the Spirit leading, follow His leading. If He leads you to a door or to a place, if He leads you to pass out a tract, leads you to speak to someone, listen to that. Point four, employ the sword of the Spirit, the Word. So, use the Bible when you're out soul winning and you're talking to people. The gospel is the Bible. It's not philosophy. It's not arguments. It is the Scripture. You need to throw in Scripture. You need to take people back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? Number five, in this divinest of work, be direct. That is, don't beat around the bush. The word I like to use there is confrontational. Not that you're starting an argument, but just that you've got the facts and you're showing them to somebody. And it's not indirect. You are taking the gospel to the sinner, not just stopping and inviting somebody to church or doing a good deed. This is directly giving the gospel to someone in such a way that they could act on it and be saved. Number six, with whatever of success, be dissatisfied. So that means don't just stop because you win a soul. Don't be happy with just winning a soul in your week. Keep looking. Keep trying to reach more and more people. Now, that's a very good topical outline. It covers a lot of different areas with soul winning and preaching the gospel and talking people door to door or just. In general life, at your workplace, you could go a bunch of different ways with that. But notice it's not tied to one verse. You'd be hard pressed. I'm pretty sure you can't find one verse that'll have all six of those points in it. And it's not even tied to just a passage or a book. Those concepts we could go throughout the Bible and to illustrate or to reinforce. We talked about the first point, God's conception of soul worth. We talked about Jesus dying, that it took His blood to save mankind. I mean, we could go to Romans or Hebrews to do that. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit's guidance, we could go over to the book of John where Jesus was telling His disciples after the Last Supper about the Holy Spirit. Employing the sword of Spirit. We could go over, where Paul wrote to Timothy, talking about study to show thyself approved. We could talking about with whatever success be dissatisfied. We could go over to the parable where it talks about them going out into the highways and hedges to come in at the feast and how there was yet room and they're sent back out. We could go so many different ways, and I've just jumped all over the New Testament just to illustrate a few of those points, and that's just off the top of my head. That was not very well studied out at all, as you can tell. But as I say, you can see, this is just a topical outline. We're talking about soul winning, so here's some things about soul winning. I like that there's, what's the logical presentation of this? These are just six things that W.B. Riley felt were essential to winning souls, and that's really what ties all these together. You could preach a sermon on every one of these six points. They're varied. God's conception of a soul's worth and using the point one and point four, employing the sword and the spirit. the employing the sword of the spirit, those are not really directly related. You know, they're falling under the general topic, the general theme of soul winning. So, all right, I've rambled quite a bit on that one. Let's go on to our second type of sermon. That is a textual sermon. A textual sermon is basically looking at a single verse, a single thought from a verse, and then building an entire sermon around it. Usually it's just a few verses long. It's very, very small portion of scripture that you're looking at. Now, textual and expository sermons can kind of, like I said, some of these can kind of overlap. Textual and expository can kind of overlap in how you're looking at it. But textual is more that you are taking an idea from just a very small portion of scripture, whether it be a word, a phrase, or just a couple of verses. In this case, the example that we're going to use from W.B. Riley is a sermon called Our Besetting Sins. The text he's using is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which I'm going to flip open to my Bible here. And we see here he's got three major points and then some sub-points, in fact, three sub-points under each of these. The first thing he's going to do in looking at this, I'll just read this. I'll end up re-preaching this, I know, but let's just look at this. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so how is Mr. Riley going to bring the truth? Now, there's a lot of good stuff. This is a very deep passage right here, just these two verses. There's so many ways you can go. Well, basically, he's going to hit the high points, which are, he's talking about the cloud of witnesses, the besetting sin, and the sufficient Savior, as he describes it. So he's looking at the cloud of witnesses, the besetting sin, and Jesus there in verse 2. And then he's going to expound these even more. So as he begins his sermon and talking about the cloud of witnesses, he's going to point out that the cloud of witnesses is a multitude in number. The cloud of witnesses is sympathetic in interest to us as we run a race. And we see that these witnesses are glorious in their character. You know, boy, if you, this is free. What's he talking about? He's talking about these witnesses there in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, you know, where it talks about Moses and Abraham and Joseph and Moses and all these heroes from the Old Testament. The word, this is free. The word witness there, does this mean that they are witnessing what we're doing, that they're onlookers, that we are running in the stadium and all these people are watching us? That's not what that word witness means. The word witness there, excuse me, actually is talking more like a witness like in a legal proceeding. This witness is testifying to what has happened. So what this is talking about is saying we can run the race and look at all the other people who already have, who are telling us run the race through faith. That's what Paul is talking about there. That's all free. All right. So then we move on into the second part of the verse. And it talks about the laying aside every weight, the besetting sin. So he talks about what the sin is. And he actually, he points out that this one specific Greek word, which I'm not going to try to pronounce, or you can look that up. And he talks about how we have to discard the sin. We have to get rid of it out of our lives. And then his third point is that having discarded it, we disregard it. We throw it away and we leave it. It's not so much that we just get rid of the sin, but it's that we don't go back. And so that's how he describes the besetting sin there. Then our third point, the sufficient Savior, which is talking about verse 2. We see Jesus. We see that he's the author and finisher of our faith. We see that he's the substitute for our sins and that, you know, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And then finally, we see that he is our great high priest. He's ascended. He's set down at the right hand of the throne of God in his exalted position. There's a lot of great truth here. Okay, now let's compare this to what we looked at in our topical sermon. Now, as I say, in our topical sermon, we had the topic of soul winning. What is the defining topic or the defining theme of this verse? Well, or of this outline? Well, really, there's three different ones. We're talking about cloud of witnesses. We're talking about besetting sin. We're talking about our Savior. Those are three different things. So what is it tying all of these ideas together? Well, all of these ideas are coming from these two verses, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Everything is tying back into this text, this small portion of Scripture, and we're just expounding on that. So what let's say, just what ties it all together? What is the structure of this sermon? Well, the ideas are all tied to these couple verses, but then even the presentation of it goes into, we're just following and explaining two verses, very small. We could go in and we could talk about, say, John 3:16. What would be a textual sermon on John 3:16? Well, we could talk about the God. We could that'd be the first point. And then number two, we see that God loved us, and we could go on forever about that. Then we could talk about point three, that he gave his only begotten son. And on point four, we could talk about who that only begotten son is. And then we can talk about that whosoever believeth on him, that how we are saved through his faith. And then we could even go a point further and say six, and hath eternal life. That's just chopping up and explaining one verse. That is a textual outline, a textual sermon. I hope I've explained that to you, just at least so you can see and kind of understand what one looks like. If you have some trouble understanding this essay, if you'll just do a Google search, you'll be able to find plenty of outlines. There are websites devoted to single types of sermons and plenty of places where people throw sermon outlines out there. And I'll warn you, though, most people's sermon outlines do not work for me, especially a very detailed one like this one we just looked at is, where you have three major points and subpoints. I would probably use his major points and then kind of come up with my own, though honestly his points under two and three, the besetting sin, sufficient Savior, those are very well laid out in the verses, so it'd be kind of hard to. But don't feel like if you get somebody else's outline that you have to follow it verbatim. Make it your own, shape it to your style, to your personality. Every preacher steals sermon outlines from somebody from time to time, or steals sermons. We'll call it resourcing sermons from different places. There is no shame in it. Just change all the personal stuff and don't claim to be something you're not. in the deal I've heard about people just repeating a sermon and then talking about how they were a veteran in a war they're not even old enough to be in because they're just repeating a sermon and stuff like that. Keep it real. But like I said, sermon outlines to me, you have to take them and mold them to yourself, and that's something else free. I really thought this was going to be a fairly short lesson. We're already over 30 minutes long, and we're just getting to point number three. So we'll hurry through this. This one we're not going to look at as in-depth. I just want you to get an idea on this one. An expository sermon, okay? An expository sermon is based on a passage of Scripture. It's not just a word or phrase or a verse or two. This is looking at a chapter, a book of the Bible. This is really taking a larger look at the Bible. Okay, we could look at it this way. A textual sermon is, you're flying like in a, we'll say you're flying in a hot air balloon over the earth, and you can see, pretty detailed. You don't see a whole lot. Your range of vision is pretty limited. Okay, an expository sermon is stepping back a little bit further. Let's say now you're in a jet and you're flying over the earth. You can see more. You can see a bigger area. And then a topical sermon is like being a satellite in outer space and being able to see so much more. You don't really see the details, but you see the continents. Really, that's a great way to illustrate and explain how these verses are, or how these types of sermons work with the portion of Scripture that they're based on. A textual sermon is very honed in and focused on just a few verses or word or phrase or something very small. An expository sermon is pulled back a little bit more, and you're looking at a passage, an entire story, an entire sermon by Christ or Paul or Peter, an entire chapter, maybe an entire story that stretches over many chapters. Our example outline is that way. And then a topical one is you're even pulled back even further, and you're not just focused on one verse or a chapter. You're focusing and you're looking at the entire Bible as a whole and looking for certain ideas out of it. That'd be like, let's say, being in space and focusing on just the clouds. Well, there's so much more down there looking down at Earth. There's plenty of green, green land and blue oceans, but you're focusing just on the clouds, but you're pulled back far enough to see that. Whereas if you were in a hot air balloon or even in a jet, you could not see that far. Well, a topical sermon, you're pulled so far back you can get a good overview of what the entire Bible thematically is talking about. So that was just right off the top of my head. Aren't you proud of me? I thought that was good. I need to work on that and hone it down a little bit, but I thought that was good. Okay, all right. An expository sermon, a lot of people love these things, and this is probably the purest form of preaching, is just taking a passage and explaining it for what it says, for what it means. Truths are brought out by analyzing the entire passage, and almost always in reading order. If you're going to, for instance, look at, let's say, Psalm 23, an expository sermon would be looking at the entire psalm, and then you could just go and say each verse. Maybe you get a point out of each verse, but you wouldn't go from the verse 6 and then jump to verse 2, then to verse 4, then to verse 1. No, you would start at the top and explain, following the presentation in the Bible, the presentation, the logic of the argument in the Bible, or the presentation in this case, of the song. You're following that and explaining it. This is very well, you can illustrate this anytime you preach out of the book of Romans. You're following the logical presentation, the logical argument that Paul is using, and you're just riding along and commenting on it and trying to shed some light on it. But that's what expository sermon is. You're basically just taking a larger passage, following along with it, and explaining what it is. And the emphasis of the sermon is the broad truth of the passage. For instance, if I were to preach, say, on Psalm 23, and I wanted to preach expositorily off this, what would be the overall thing? It would really probably, I guess, would be God's care for us. We see that, he's a shepherd taking care of us. We see that he protects us and is with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. And that, overall, and at the end of our life, that surely goodness and mercy will follow me, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's really talking about God's care for his people. And that would be the general overall theme of my sermon. But then I would go through and illustrate like that. First off, how he cares for us as a shepherd, and then his protection when things go wrong in verses 4 and 5. And then finally in verse 6, we see the end of it all, an overview of it. And we also see the end, talking about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. So that's just another one just right off the top of my head, just to explain what it is. Okay, so let's look at our example outline. And this one, I'm not going to try to go through. This would be one you can study out a little bit, because this is a little bit broader of an expository outline than I probably would have liked to use. But just to give you an idea, and stretching out a little bit further here, the outline here is called Hounded Yet Happy. Hounded as in being, you know, followed, persecuted, something like that, if you're not familiar with that term. And what W.B. Reilly does in this is that his three major points are from three psalms, Psalm 3, Psalm 4, and Psalm 5. And he takes the major theme of each one of these psalms and brings a point to it. And the overall idea is that even though we face opposition and there's enemies out there, yet we can still be happy. And how he does this is he points out in Psalm 3, point 1, the king's opponents. We see that they're a multitude in number, that they are as impotent as plenteous, even though there's a bunch of them, they have a limit to their power. And then finally, you know what, that they suffice to drive the believer to divine protection. So they point us and drive us to God, our protection. And point two is the king's protection. That's Psalm 4. We see that he's the one that he's the one that hears prayer. We see that he's the one that shows good to us. And then finally, in Psalm 5, we see the king's praise. And it talks about verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in weakness, neither shall evil dwell through thee. But as for me, I will, verse 7, I will come into thy house, and the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. You know, it's really looking about how good God is, how powerful God is, and how we're going to praise him for it. We see it opens the gates of the day. We start out the day praising God. Even in private, it turns a private closet into the temple of God, and how God meets with us even in those solitary moments. And it terminates in songs of praise and joy, and if you look at verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. So this is an entire idea. What's the broad theme about this? Well, it's talking about, you know, God's protection for us in the face of danger. And how does W.B. Reilly do this? Where's that's kind of the overall theme of this sermon, of this outline. Each major point is a separate psalm. All his subpoints are would just be a verse or two or an idea from these psalms as you read through them. And as I pointed out, just a few. I don't want to take the time to go through and just re-preach this. I think you can do that and get the idea. But we see, okay, so what is the glue holding this together? Is it a theme? Well, kind of. There is a general theme to it. But what's really holding this together is this. This is the presentation of really taking a broad look at these psalms. We see a continuing theme through Psalm 3, 4, and 5. And we see a continuing idea. It's not like, one is talking about God's care for his people, and the other one is talking about how good it is to praise God, and then the next one is talking about all the wicked will be turned into hell. And then the next one is talking about, being joyful, going to the temple, something like that. You know, it's not jumping around. There is a consistent theme through these. And that's what's being brought out and explained through this expository outline. We're really focusing on that broad theme that is found throughout these three psalms. And I say, if you want to look up expository sermons, there are a bunch of outlines that you can find on the internet on this. As I say, there are many people, especially the people of a Calvinist slash Reformed doctrinal or view. They really focus on expository sermons and that, you know, bringing out, you know, the truth that's in the Bible. And there is a need for more expository sermons. Too many times, I'll tell you, in my experience in a lot of Baptist churches, we have way too many topical sermons where it's just, you know, well, I feel like preaching this today, so let's just throw some verses, make it stick, and preach it. Instead of just really getting down and explaining what the Bible itself is teaching. And expository sermon, as I say, is is probably the purest form of a sermon, because the entire structure of the sermon is really just bringing to light what the Bible says. That makes it a little bit harder to study for, I think, because you're really having to dig in and dig deep without just basically reading and commenting along. It takes a lot of study, but it also, really, if you can preach this way and preach this way effectively, it shows you have a depth of knowledge of the scriptures, and that you can even outlining these expository sermons can be a challenge. If you can come out and have a very good outline that's alliterated and follows through, you know, you have done a great job making an outline. So anyway, those are the three basic types of sermons: topical, textual, expository. You will see other types of sermons listed. Sometimes you'll hear a biographical sermon added. I remember that one off the top of my head, where basically the guy will just talk about the life of someone, whether it's even a person in the Bible. Sometimes people will do that, just talk about the life of even, you know, a preacher or something. You know, I would say, you know, that's kind of the form of a topical sermon. Or maybe, you know, if you're going with a Bible character that, or a person in the Bible, you could say it's an expository sermon. So, you know, even that kind of fits into, say, like a topical type sermon in a very strange sense. So that's why I say basically these are the three major types of sermons. And I say, if you look at any book on preaching, there's going to be a chapter and it will have these three listed out, probably in this order, with, you know, a few examples of every one that you can look at and get an idea for how they work and the logic and the structure behind them. Now, as I close, I want to tackle this. You know, if you're new to preaching, this may overwhelm you. You're like, wow, well, what do I do? You mean I have to have my sermon fit one of these? You know, how do I choose? You know, which one? I've got an idea for a sermon, but you know, how do I make it work? Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is, number one, of course, follow the Spirit's leading. You will find that as you're studying, you know, sometimes just doors close, roadblocks come up, and it just isn't working. Well, go at it from a different direction. And sometimes that's just God leading you to put it together in a different way. You could, for instance, be studying and you want to study, let's say, the second coming of Christ, and you start out in Matthew 24 and you're just going to go through Matthew 24 and talk about all the signs, you know, about the second coming. But then before you know it, you know, you're really studying more in Revelation. Well, and you're jumping back even to the book of Daniel and look at prophecy. Well, that probably is going to be more of a topical sermon. It's going to fit it better. Whereas if you just stayed in Matthew 24, the odds are it's going to be an expository sermon, because you'd be looking at the entire chapter. A lot of it just follows, you know, what are you trying to get across? And that kind of goes into my second point: determine which fits the flow and presentation of your sermon. If I wanted to preach on prayer, I can find a passage. I could just go through, for instance, go through the Lord's Prayer: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I could just go through there and explain that, and that would be a great sermon. I could follow through and just say, you know, we could look at everything Christ said about prayer and just take different little points off of that. Or I could just find one verse on prayer and focus on that and make a textual sermon. It really just depends on what you're getting, what you're trying to get across, how it needs to be presented. For instance, if I was going to preach on prayer, I probably would steer, because it's kind of a broad topic, I would steer away from a textual sermon and go more topical or expository, just because it's kind of a bigger area. But now if I wanted to explain just one verse, just John 3:16, I wanted to really hone in and explain John 3:16. That's going to be a textual sermon. I'm not going to be jumping all around in the Bible, to explain John 3:16. I'm not going to be turned into Exodus or Psalms. I might do that a little bit to reinforce a point, but the basic structure of the outline is still based on explaining one verse. It's going to be a textual sermon. So that, I hope that makes sense. But a lot of it just depends on what you're trying to do. And lastly, don't feel that you have to make it fit a mold. If you study the art of outlining, there are people that will tell you, well, it all needs to be alliterated. I love alliteration, where all the points start with a certain word. Or, you know, sometimes all sound the same or something like that. There's a structure to it. I've heard of preachers that will always have 5 major points and 3 subpoints under each one. Well, listen, what are you trying to do? You know, fit a mold or preach a sermon? Are you trying to get truth across, or just, are you playing a little game and seeing if you could make it fit? No, the number one thing about a sermon is to get the truth across. And a sermon outline is just a tool we use to logically present the facts. And these types of sermons are just different ways of getting points across and of displaying the truths. So, you know, you could start out and say, you know, you could start out in John 3:16 and explain it, and then jump clear across the Bible and go to the book of Revelation and talk about another verse there, and split your sermon 50-50 or 75-25 between those two. Does that mean you can't preach that sermon? Absolutely not. That just means it doesn't fit the mold. But there's nothing wrong with that. Just make sure your sermon comes together as a cohesive whole, that you're not jumping around and doing all kinds of crazy things. You know, that someone listening can follow along and understand and anticipate what you're doing. And you know, most importantly, make sure that the truth you're trying to present is getting across. There are preachers that are just fantastic at outlining, and you'll find their outlines used. Some preachers, just the way they preach, their outlines defy outlining. And like I said, this is one of my things about, as I say, personally, me using other people's outlines. Most of the time, they don't work. Now, these by W.B. Reilly, I think I could use. But there are so many I look at and it's like, wow, that makes no sense. I don't follow their train of thought at all. If I don't follow it, I can't preach it and present it. No one else is going to be able to follow it. But, you know, it's said that Sam Jones, you know, the great Methodist evangelist, when he started out, he had 2 books. And besides his Bible, one was a book of Spurgeon's sermons, and the other was a book, it was called Sermon Skeletons or something, but it was basically a book of sermon outlines. And how he learned to preach was just studying sermon outlines and studying Spurgeon, how he preached. The main thing is, I would not focus so much on having a beautiful alliterated outline where everything fits and you make sure there's 2 subpoints under every main point. If you only got 1 subpoint under a major point, that's great. Now that breaks every law of outlining you'll read, but you know what? This isn't a contest to make a pretty outline. This is just getting the truth across. And if you need to do it that way to get the point across and you can do it effectively, throw outlining out the window. If you can get up there and just preach off the top of your head and be effective and reach people, do it. If you're the type that really needs to study it out and you really feel that you need to study out and preach exactly what the Bible says, do it. Go in there, dig deep, and preach a great expository outline. Dig deep and explain what the Bible is talking about. Or maybe that's just too deep for you and you don't think that way. Maybe you think broader themes, and so preach topically. Do whatever you have to. Now, one last point is, don't limit yourself to just the style of outline that works. Variety is the spice of life, and it is the lifeblood of preaching. If you are going to preach on a consistent basis, you're going to need some variety. Variety of themes, variety of style to an extent. Now, I'm not saying you'll rotate every 3 sermons. We're rotating through these 3 types of outlines. But just because topical sermons are what you're best at, make sure that you're every now and then slipping in a good textual or expository outline. Don't limit yourself to just one type. And if you limit yourself to expository outlines, you may know what the book of James is all about from hearing a series on it. But you may not realize that the topics he touches on there are throughout the Bible. Well, that's where a topical sermon would come in, you know. So, like I said, I keep rambling and rambling. And I almost feel like I'm undercutting everything I've taught you by saying, you know, hey, it's not all that important. But really, it is. An outline and the structure to a sermon is very important. And, it really goes back to it's just the orderly presentation of logical arguments. And you're making a case, just like a lawyer in a courtroom is making a case and giving reasons why his, you know, the defendant is not guilty of murder, and he wants to go through and explain, well, look, hey, this witness said he wasn't there, and by the way, his fingerprints weren't on the murder weapon, and oh, by the way, you know, he's got plane tickets, and you know, that prove he was in the Bahamas, and you know, he's logically going to be presenting that, getting the truth and the point across to the jury. As a preacher, we're getting the truth across to the people. And so that requires a certain amount of structure to it. You will lose people if you do not have good structure to your sermons. And I'm not saying you have to have a good topical or expository outline, but if you do not have some type of structure that people can follow, they're going to tune you out and they're going to disappear. Especially if you're going to be a pastor or something, you need to find a way to communicate effectively with some variety, but you need to be able to keep and hold people's attention. And one of the main things about doing that is just having a good presentation of the topic and having a good outline. I will quit rambling because I think that's exactly what I'm doing, is just rambling at this point. I appreciate you listening today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. It's way overdue. And this time of the year, this fall time of the year is very bad. My throat's not very good right now. So I'm hit or miss getting a chance to record as the holidays, you know, get a little closer here in a couple months, but we'll try to get this series wrapped up. I don't know exactly what I'm going to be talking about next. I'm going to be redoing some of the outline. May not go to 10 or 11 lessons like I've done in the past, but we're going to get this thing wrapped up and move on to a new series. I appreciate your listening today. Check out BaptistBasics.org for other resources. You can email me, podcast@BaptistBasics.org. Check out Baptist History Spotlight, the other podcast that I keep up with. I'm a little bit better about it right now than this one, but we're working on that one too. And anyway, I appreciate you listening today. I hope it's been helping a blessing to you. I'm Matthew Gage, and I hope to see you next time.